Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5 to get Dimitri live and dangerously local Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. You can also hear me on the River Talk Radio Network during that same period, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430, and now we have an additional radio station signal carrying our show, and that's 94.9 FM, and so we're very, very excited. Thank you all for joining us. Download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5. It's the audio path of totality. Live exclusive interview here with a great guy. He is a delegate in the House of Delegates in West Virginia, District 97 from Martinsburg. His name is Chris Anders, and he is a constitutional conservative. He's got a real strict view of the state constitution and the United States Constitution as well, and does not waver. He's a very cool guy, and I'd like to introduce you to him. We've had him on once before, lots of positive response, so we asked him to come back on and talk about this religious freedom issue in the state of West Virginia. And Chris, I've got to ask you, I know we were texting back and forth during the break. Is the static gone now that you're not on hold anymore, or is it still bad?
It's not. When I was on hold, I heard nothing, but I can hear you very clearly now. So hopefully, whatever gremlins or the NSA or whoever's interfering in our phone call, we're cleared up now.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you very much for that. So let me see here. Where was I? The House of Delegates has gotten more liberal in this last election, and I cannot begin to wrap my head around that, considering this is the heart of MAGA Nation. What the hell is happening with the Republican Party in the Mountain State?
I have no idea. Well, I actually have an idea. Essentially, if you look at our state, for a very long time, for 83 years, it was Democrat-controlled. It was still a relatively conservative state, but represented by Democrats. And then starting about 2014, you saw the change where, Republicans started to win elections in West Virginia because the Democratic Party became so extreme on its social platforms, so anti-gun, so anti-freedom, and so radical when it came to everything from pushing abortion up until after a child is born, and all the ridiculous far-left stances they were taking. You saw our state start to turn Republican. However, if you look at who's actually elected representing West Virginia voters, there's a large percentage of politicians, whether they are in the state Senate or the state House of Delegates, who were Democrats up until 2-3 years ago. And trying to hold on to power, they realized the only way to win elections is to change what jersey they were wearing and not change their political philosophies. So they start running as Republicans when really they've been a Democrat their entire life, or the vast majority of it. So when they get to the state, well, the voters vote for them thinking, we're electing a Republican. They're going to do the right thing on life. They're going to do the right thing on liberty. They're going to do the right thing on guns, babies, so on, taxes. Then they get down to the state house, and even though they have an R stamped on their card and they have an R stamped beside their name, they vote just like Democrats. And that's what we've seen over the past session down in Charleston.
So what do you do about that? Why did the Republican Party allow itself to be taken over by the Democrats? I can't fathom this thinking.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you. No, it's really the voters' job. See, too often people are paying attention to everything that happens in Washington, D.C., and they don't pay attention to what happens back home here in West Virginia. So it's the job of true Republicans in the legislature to get these undocumented Democrats who pose as Republicans on record on these issues, force roll call votes, which I did all session. I think I did 12 or 15. I made so many people angry by forcing people to go on record on these controversial issues. Now it's up to the voters to look past the party affiliation when it comes to the primary. The primary in West Virginia is essentially, the primary election is essentially the general election, because once, you know, you're nominated as a Republican nominee, it's pretty much in the vast majority of districts, because we are now a very red state, that the Republican's going to win the general election. You don't, you know, in some, like my districts are closer than others. It's a 7 or 8 point district. Whereas,
what is that? I'm sorry. What does that mean in English?
Like a 20 point district.
What does that mean in English? What is 7 or 8 point district? What does that mean?
In other words, I won my election 55% to like 46%.
Oh, okay.
Whereas a lot of, you know, so many percentage point difference between Republicans and Democrats in the general election. Like my friend Lisa White is in a 35% Republican district. So no matter who, and that's the vast majority of West Virginia, whoever wins the Republican primary is going to win the general election and represent you down in Charleston. Which means the primary is the most important election in the state. It's more important than the general election. And people have to understand, just because a candidate has an R letter beside their name doesn't mean they're really a Republican. Doesn't mean they're going to stand for your right to keep and bear arms. Doesn't mean they're going to protect the lives of the unborn. It doesn't mean they're going to, you know, not push for more taxes, which we saw that a lot in the state house. There were a lot of tax increase bills coming, and we had to fight tooth and nail to stop them. But the only thing we can do on the inside as the people's representatives is keep forcing hard votes, get these undocumented Democrats on record, and then expose them come the election season. Then it's up to the voters. It's up to the voters to watch carefully, to understand not just what party, you know, their candidate has besides their name, but actually look into their voting record to see how they voted on issues that matter to them.
All right. Fair enough. Who's the head of the Republican Party in the state of West Virginia, and why does he allow this?
Well, the Republican Party I think we have a new chair coming in. You know, we've now moved from semi-open primaries, which means if you're a Republican or an independent, you can vote in a Republican primary. Now they've changed it to closed primary that only registered Republicans can vote, and that will be a difference in 2026. Now, one would automatically assume that means just, you know, conservatives would be voting in the election. However, many times I knocked on over 6,000 doors during my campaign, and some of the most conservative voters I found were independents who were tired of being sold out by the Republican Party for not fighting hard enough for life, liberty, property rights, gun rights, you name it, and they have gone independent. So I've talked to many of those voters since then, going, listen, I know you feel the Republican Party has let you down, but we need your help. Unless you want a rhino to represent you in the state house, I need you to register as Republican and vote in the upcoming, you know, primary. So I guess we're going to see what happens. A lot of people were very upset with the Republican Party for the constant caving to the Democrats, which was done for a long time.
Yep.
But why are we leaving the ship? Why are Republicans, real conservatives, abandoning the Republican brand? They're, you know, the undocumented Democrats that are coming in, they're the ones that's trying to change the party. Why should we leave? They're the ones that's crashing the party.
Right. So this new guy coming in, who is that, and do you have any faith in him?
I haven't, I'll be honest, I haven't had time to even research that. I've been so busy with this Berkeley County fight that we have going on, and this is something that's developed just over the past couple of days, as well as working with some friends of mine, because I also worked as a political consultant, and I'm working on, Texas has a special session going on right now, trying to end taxpayer-funded lobbying, which I tried to end in West Virginia, and that's a very important issue if you have time to talk about that.
Sure, sure. What exactly is that? Explain it in terms so simple that even I can understand it.
Okay, for example, here in Berkeley County, the county council or commission has employed a lobbyist to lobby for them at the state level. They're paying this lobbyist $16,000 a month from taxpayer funds to represent them in Charleston. Now, the last I checked, a county commissioner can pick up a telephone and call Charleston and tell, you know, the county delegates what they'd like to see.
Right.
But what's really interesting about this is in Berkeley County, the lobbyists they hired and are paying $16,000 a month, add that up over a year sometime, is the wife of a sitting state senator.
Oh, wow. Which
and
one?
That, Jason Barrett.
Okay. And is he one of us or one of them?
He is a Republican state senator that was a Democrat in the House to the day he decided to run for state Senate two terms ago.
All right. So he's an undocumented Democrat then.
Democrat.
All right.
There you
fine.
Have it.
Fair enough. So now governments are hiring lobbyists for their interest where government should be is supposedly serving the public, serving the taxpayers.
Right. And you get a lot of cronyism and a lot of corruption. You know, there's always, whenever there's power, there's always corruption. And when you have these county commissioners hiring a lobbyist to represent them and not really the people. For example, last session, I fought to stop and led the charge to stop the 1% sales tax increase in West Virginia. Who was pushing it? The taxpayer-funded lobbyist from my own county. My tax money was funding a lobbyist to lobby to increase taxes on the people in Charleston. You see how just insane this is that we have county governments and municipalities using taxpayer money to then lobby against the interests of the people? Because if you ask the people in the state of West Virginia, they don't want to pay more taxes. We are taxed way too much already. Our founders rebelled against a 3% tax on a breakfast beverage that wasn't coffee, and we spend a third of our gross income on government, and the Berkeley County Commission hired a lobbyist.
It's unbelievable.
Our taxpayer money.
It's absolutely, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. So, Chris,
I couldn't get any traction behind the bill to stop it because it's a game all those on the inside play. You know, I didn't run to represent, you know, the establishment. I didn't run to represent, you know, the all these cronyism programs. I ran to represent the people, and everybody should represent the people and the Constitution and freedom and liberty. But I couldn't even get traction on that bill to stop the use of taxpayer dollars to hire lobbyists to lobby against their best interests.
Oh, when you say traction, ridiculous. What do you say traction? What does that mean in plain language?
I couldn't get anybody to move the bill for a vote. I couldn't get it brought up in committee. No one wanted to even vote and go on record. See, when you put a bill in, if it's a controversial bill like that, a lot of politicians will lobby either the committee chairs or the speaker and say, listen, this is controversial. If I vote on this, I'm going to make some voters mad. So just don't let it come up on the schedule. Don't let it come up for a vote. And that happens with a lot of good legislation. In fact, I had 33 bills in, of which one that I co-sponsored and one which was a Senate version actually passed. The rest, I had to literally pull parliamentary procedures. In other words, force votes on a couple of them by using every trick in the book to get roll call votes, whether that was in the repeal of certificate of need or the preventing of these trafficking of abortion pills in West Virginia. I could not get leadership or anybody to bring these up for a vote because delegates and state senators put in a lot of bills. But unless the speaker or the chair or the president of the Senate allows a vote, they never come up for a vote unless you have a representative with the guts to pull these procedures to force votes on them. Now, you will lose majority of time when you force these votes, but you get a roll call vote. So then come the election time, the people can understand where their representatives actually stand.
My goodness. More with our very special guest here in just a minute. I'm going to try one thing here, and let me know if this is any better during the commercial break, all right? Chris.
All right, sounds great.
All right, let's give this a try.